Pop-Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Duty. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are criminalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars of coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the Middleton police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Duty is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is KJ Talk Radio with myself, host author Daryl King, and co-host Elbert Jones Jr. We want to just welcome all of you all to our show tonight. We hope that everybody had a wonderful holiday. I know I did. Did you, Jonesy?
Beautiful, man.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. Tonight we have a wonderful show for you all tonight, and we will be talking about street literature tonight, okay? I myself am a street or urban literature author. Urban literature is a very, very popular subgenre of African-American literature. It is wildly popular with everyone from ages 15 to 50. Very, very popular genre. Started in the 1970s by such prolific writers as Donald Goines, Iceberg Slim, Chester Himes, and others. And we have two wonderful hosts who are just two wonderful guests, I'm sorry, who are just, you know, street literature fanatics. We have Carla. How you doing, Carla?
Hey, I'm fine.
All
How
right.
are you?
All right. Great, great. And we have LaShawn. How you doing, LaShawn?
I'm doing fine.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, everybody, LaShawn's a little under the weather today, so you got to bear with her. Thank you for being here with us tonight, LaShawn and Carla. And first, we want to just say for you two ladies, just want to know, what is the fascination with street or urban literature today? Why is it such a popular genre of African-American writing? Why do you think that is?
I would think because a lot of the characters that you read about, you either know someone like that or you can relate to their situation. And if you have, I guess it's on a different entertainment level. You can pretty much relate to them. So it's more entertaining to you as opposed to a science fiction where there may be something that you might not experience.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. So, Carla, you agree with LaShawn on that?
Yes, I would agree with her. I think it's very, to me, it's like I can really get lost in it. It's like watching a movie. And sometimes I'm reading the novel, and I just want it to keep going on and on, so I'll kind of stretch it. I'll read a little bit, I'll stop, and I'll go back, just like a commercial break. Good. I wanted to keep lasting.
Yeah, right,
and that's
exactly.
That's just one of those
exactly.
page turners, and you just got to finish it.
Yeah.
So I understand that, too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, well, I hear that. Well, I'll ask both of you ladies. We will begin with Carla, and then we're going to go to LaShawn. What was your very first street lit novel you ever read, Carla?
It was Project Chick.
Project Chick, okay. And who is that by? Do you remember the author?
Nikki Turner. Uh-huh.
Okay, Nikki Turner. Okay, what about Project Chick that you like, and what about that novel that you took from that novel that made you want to continue to keep reading?
Well, I just like the way Nikki Turner writes. It's, to me, the women that she, the characters, they're always smart, and they're always trying to better themselves.
All right. Smart characters always trying to better themselves, okay?
Yes.
All right. So even though they were put in an inner city environment and all of the ills that go with the inner city.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of her novels, they seem to derive from, what is that, like Richmond. I believe she's from Richmond, isn't she?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. She is definitely from Richmond. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've read a couple of, like two novels of Miss Turner's myself. Very, very prolific writer in her own right, and a lot of her characters jump off the page at you. And also, now we're going to move on to LaShawn. What was your first, very first urban fiction novel?
My first will have to be, it's a novel written by Deja King, and it's called The Bit.
Yeah,
I had to go get the other two because the first one just left you on edge. You had to go to the second one. It was a page turner.
It was a page turner. Okay. All right. So that
was
Bitch by Deja King. And I met Miss King, a lovely young lady. And when you actually meet her, you would say to yourself, I know for a fact this pretty little girl did not write all these, these types of stories. And when I say that, I mean that with all respect. She's a beautiful person inside and out and a great writer. But Jonesy, have you ever read any, obviously you're not a reader, but you remember the blaxploitation movies, obviously, back in the 1970s, right? And obviously you watch a lot of movies, so...
Right.
I'm sure you can kind of relate to maybe some of the there hasn't been a lot of films made from urban fiction novels. Now, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I believe DMX was in one of them. I don't know what's the name. He was in an adaptation of a Donald Goins book. You guys, LaShawn, Carly, do you remember that movie and know the title of that, maybe
no,
that
I don't
novel?
Know that. No. I didn't know that.
The name of the movie? The
yes.
DMX movie?
Yes.
No, not offhand.
Was it Never Die
not
Alone,
offhand.
I believe? I think it was something of that. Yeah, I think it was something to that respect. Johnson.
Well, you know, like when you talk about street lit, you know, I've never been really a reader.
Uh-huh.
Like, especially of books.
Right.
And I just thought, I think when I met you and you was into the, you had wrote a book. And I think then I start reading a little bit of the street lit. But, you know... I'm still trying to make myself there to get into that and really start reading some street lit, man.
You know?
I'm really not that heavily into that yet.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
You know.
Okay, so I'll just say this. So I'll ask both of these ladies, because a lot of people will say, and I'm sure, I remember when I first met Carla, she definitely said people looked at her funny on the train or the bus when she had her street lit novels sometimes. I'm not sure, LaShawn, if that you've gotten certain looks like that, but street literature, as much as it's as it is a loved genre of writing. It is also very hated by many people also because of the explicit use of profanity, the profuse violence and sex in it. So I'll ask you, ladies, what are you? Obviously, it doesn't bother you, but have you had anyone say to you anything negative concerning your choice of reading material? LaShawn.
No. Mm-mm. No, I haven't had that. But I do notice that I do see more and more people with those books.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is true.
I can say that I do see more of those books popping up than what I've seen in the past.
Okay.
Some people you'll see them just holding their book reading it. Some people you'll see them pull like the cover page, the cover back. So they can hide the cover so you don't know what they're reading.
Okay.
You know, okay. You've been in that situation. You know what they're doing. They're trying to hide, but they don't want anybody to know what they're reading. But
Okay. I got you. Now, Carla, you have actually been approached, you said.
Yes, at the Metro. This lady just came up to me. I mean, we were all on the elevator, and she just looked over at my book, and she said something negative, and I said, well, have you read it? I said, don't judge a book by its cover. You need to read what's in it.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, Carla, what were you reading?
I think that was one of, what's her name, Wahida Clark's novels, The Thugs and the Women That Love Them. At that time, I think it was that book, because, yeah, the cover is a little, you know, but... That if you take the time and read that book, that has a very good storyline.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Wahida Clark. Yeah, and she now has her own publishing company as a result of the success from her book. So I'll ask you, ladies, why do you feel that? Right, I think I already asked you that. So let me rephrase it. Let me mix it up a little bit. What would you say to someone who may not be a reader of street literature who may tend to criticize that particular genre of writing? What would you guys say to someone like that? What would be your words for them?
Pretty much that, you know, you can't automatically just assume that it's bad because of what type of book it is. If it didn't have a cover on it, you would try to read it because you wouldn't know what it was.
Exactly.
If it was a hardback book with no cover, how do you know which genre it is? You're going to read it anyway because you're curious. Opinion after you've already finished reading it.
Okay. That's fair enough. Carla?
Well, with me, I've given up. I know what I like, and I do interact with other people who like the same books. So as for the new people or people I'm just meeting, I just leave that topic alone because it comes across as something like religion. You know, everybody has their own opinion, and people tend to be so judgmental. So rather than me sit and try to tell them how good it is and not to judge it, you know, it becomes like almost an argument.
Right. Okay. All right,
I believe in. I'm not going to let them deter me from what I believe in, because I
right,
like
exactly.
interesting.
Exactly, I can understand that.
I like it better than watching television.
Okay, all right, that sounds good. Well, you know what, when we come back, we're going to continue with some of your favorite authors when we come back on KJ Talk Radio. We're talking about urban/street literature tonight in general, and Daryl King novels in particular. So when we come back, we're going to talk to LaShawn and Carla about some of their favorite authors and why. All right, KJ Talk Radio, y'all. Holla at your boy.
Hey, everybody. This is your new friend, Julio. And I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girls.
BBS Radio, Radio, Radio. BBS Radio, Radio.com.
love it when those girls sing like that. But I can't hang around, man, because the border guards are coming. So I'll catch you later. Unless you catch me later. Bye-bye now. Don't forget to listen to BBSRadio.com.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information. Removing fear through communication. Engaging, powerful, unforgettable. My name is Spider Turner, and you can hear my music right here on the BBS.
All right, KJ Talk Radio, we're talking Houston urban literature tonight, and we have our guests, Carla and Sean, who are avid readers of this type of genre, a type of genre that I am author of, and we have, obviously, Jonesy, who, you know, he's seen me at many a book signing and everything. So what do you think? When you see me at these book signings, Jonesy, what do you think about urban literature, man, the amount of fans that it garners and draws?
Well, I think what I've seen in the past at some of the book signings, they really, you have a lot of fans out there that really into that street literature. You know, they really, like, crave for that. You remember the time we was over on Alabama Avenue?
Oh, yeah.
We were selling some books out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they was breaking the table down to get a copy of that book. How do you want it?
Right.
And Mo Dirty. So there's a lot of fans out there for street lit, most definitely.
Right, right, right. So, ladies, tell me some of your favorite authors, LaShawn, Carla. What and why are these some of your favorite authors?
Let's see. I would say I like Quan. I like Quan because he generally has a good storyline behind his book. And they generally come in one book is generally linked to the other one. So if you read the first one and you follow that story, then generally the other ones that follow that are somewhat linked to it. And it's just it kind of helps you out because whenever you read a good book and you get to the end, and you're like, okay, well, what about or what happened to, you know, you still want to know what's going on with these characters. And at least I can say in his book, he picks up and keeps it going. So you still are aware of what happened to the characters in that last book.
So what about you, Colin?
Well, my favorite author would be Mr. Daryl King himself.
Yes.
Thank you
oh,
so
yeah.
much. Because reading Dirty South and Mo Dirty, it really occupied my, it helped me to get well. During that time, I had the flu, and
yeah.
I just, you know, I don't have a TV in my room, so I just looked to those books for, like, you know, they helped me to heal somewhat. You know, your storyline was really good, looking for part three of that. The other authors, I like Terry Woods, I like Nikki Turner, Leo Sullivan, Tracy Brown, and like she said, Deja King. I like Deja King and Wahida Clark, and definitely I love Quan.
All right. All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. And LaShawn, what about yourself?
I think she did.
You did it already?
Excuse me.
Okay. I step away. I'm lost in the sauce. Forgive me. Well, you guys, those are all great authors. Wonderful authors. I myself, before I became a writer of street literature, one of my first books that I read was Quan's Gangsta. I know you guys
yeah.
familiar with that one?
Yeah, Gangsta was good.
Yeah,
followed that up on Gutter, too.
With that one. And that was a pretty good one. What about the classics? What about the pioneers of the genre, Donald Goins, Iceberg Slim, Chester Himes. You guys had a favorite?
I would say Donald Goins.
Okay, I'm gonna come right back to you, LaShawn, on why you say the brother Donald, who is one of the grand masters of urban literature, pioneer. And now, Carla, you said you never read any of the.
I've never read any, but I know that's how it all got started.
Okay.
The most I've read, and they did an article on urban literature in the Washington Post, and they had mentioned him.
Okay. Now, LaShawn, how come Donald Goins is one of your favorite when it comes to the original pioneers of urban fiction?
Because his books are very interesting. The characters, I guess, when you read it, it exposes you to the other side that you maybe we're not aware about. You knew, but you might not have necessarily known the in-depth ongoings of it. And he's very, very descriptive, very descriptive. So you kind of feel like you're there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he definitely puts you right in the streets. He puts you right there on the, you know, into the drug deals. He even puts you in the mind of a junkie sometimes. He was very, very descriptive. Do you feel that maybe a lot of people feel that the novels of Donald Goins, who at that time was the best-selling and arguably even now the best-selling, even posthumously, African-American writer in history, of American writing, do you think that his novels brought about the blaxploitation movie era? Yes or no?
I would say yes.
You would say yes.
I would say
okay.
yes.
And why would you say
that? A couple of his books. So I could see where some of the exploitation movies had some similarities to a lot of the books that he wrote.
Okay. All right. And I would say that too. You know, a lot of those movies. And what about yourself, Carla? You feel that some of those early urban fiction tales from the likes of Donald Goins or Iceberg Slim actually gave rise to the blaxploitation movies?
I would think so. Yeah, and I think it just paved the way.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good. Now, for those who are kind of unfamiliar with street literature, or they may, a lot of people put street literature and erotica in the same kind of, on the same page. What would you guys would say would be the difference between, say, if you pick up a book by Daryl King and Zane? What's the difference?
I probably would say the setting is just different.
Okay.
The
okay.
setting and the characters are just different. Whereas the urban book is going to be more in the streets. Depending on which book of Zane's you pick up, the venue where they are is just different. And being as though they're in the street, things are perceived a little bit differently than, let's say, if they were in, let's say, a middle-class neighborhood.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Carla?
Well, I've never read any of the Zane books. I'm not really, like, into, you know, erotica too much.
Right. Okay.
You know, okay. It is what it is, but not too much of the erotica.
Okay, that's cool. I'll say this. You know, we've been talking about street literature, and everything. And obviously, you know, I'm a street lit author myself. And of the novels you've read of mine, you guys, what are your favorite novels that you have read of Daryl King's, and what is your favorite?
I would have to say mine would be How Do You Want It.
Okay, How Do You Want It. Okay, alrighty. Carla?
I've only read so far would be Dirty South, Mo Dirty.
Okay.
And, you could tell that there was a lot of truth to that. Those characters, were actual, you know, characters where this happened to, even though that does pertain to a lot of the books that I read. But I really like the way you kept it going with Snooki.
Oh, okay. Okay. Snooki. All right. Gotcha.
I agree with her on that one.
Wait, what was that, LaShawn?
I said I agree with her on that one as far as Uncle Snooki.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what about Uncle? Would you guys, do you all know or happen to have ever known in your life an Uncle Snooky?
Not directly.
Not directly, okay, Carl?
No, me neither. Oh, not okay. Directly.
All right, now what type of character was Uncle Snooky in both of you all's opinion? LaShawn, you first. What type of character was he?
Uncle Snooky is a businessman, but he's all about himself.
Okay.
Whoever or however, by any means necessary, that it's going to take him to get to the top, that's what he's going to do. It doesn't matter who he has to sell out, why he has to sell him out. As long as it's going to get him where he needs to go, that's Uncle Snooky.
Okay. Great. Okay.
I would agree with you.
Carla?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with what she just said. He's kind of ruthless to me, but...
Kind of ruthless. Like, okay. Well, you know what? I got a treat for you guys. Jonesy, you too. Before we got to pay some bills once again. But when we come back, we will speak live directly to an individual... who I know well, that is the inspiration for both of my Dirty South novels. And when we come back, we will be taking questioning him, taking some questions from him and everything. And he will give us all the lowdown on life in the Dirty South. All right. KJ Talk Radio, y'all. Holla at your boy.
All right.
Pump Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Duty. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are penalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars of coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the Middleton police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Duty is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
KJ Talk Radio, we are talking urban fiction tonight, and it's an urban fiction night, and we are going to discuss right now Dirty South, my novel Dirty South, which also gave birth to a sequel, which is Mo Dirty, Still Stuntin'. LaShawn, and also Carla, you've read either one of those two novels?
I read both of them.
You read both. LaShawn has read both, and Carla has read Mo Dirty, am I right?
I've read both.
You read both, Dirty South and Mo Dirty, okay, and Alba.
I haven't read either one.
You haven't read, you know
them. I know, I'm aware of them, you know.
Well, all right, now we have a gentleman I know well. This is my first cousin, Mr. Ernest Bryan, a.k.a. Skippy D., the boss of the Dirty South, who at one time lived that lifestyle, and he is here for our questions. I dedicated Dirty South to him. Ernie, how you doing today?
pretty good.
All right, man. All right. Well, we, you know, the popularity of street literature. You've heard even from some of the brothers inside. You've been telling me that they find Dirty South pretty entertaining. Am I right?
Yes, they have. You got to excuse me. I'm a little hoarse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been in contact with a few people that's incarcerated, and a few of them have read the book, and, you know, a lot of people are digging the book.
Okay, fantastic.
Nice.
All right, well, I'm going to let our, you know, guests give you some questions, but I'm going to have to ask you one. First, the Dirty South. Now, when it comes to urban literature, you hear a lot about New York, you hear a lot about D.C., you hear a lot about, you know, Chicago, L.A., and, you know, the different crime. But what is it about the crime infrastructure of the Deep South that has now, you know, fueled a lot of rap? You got Lil Wayne, got, you know, all of the, you know, the different, you know, different southern hip-hop stars talking about it and everything. And for someone that has actually lived that life and have been in federal prison, what would you say is that the difference?
Dealing with the South, I would say you have a lot of African. We are what's called in the low country Geechee, kind of like African and Indian mixed. We were here from pretty much the beginning of slavery to now, and we got a lot of the original African beats and, you know, our style of music, our style of life. It's a whole lot different. I can't really explain it. You got to kind of almost experience it. So a lot of people would say that it's kind of primitive, but I think it's a beautiful way of life. It's a different way of life. It's a natural way of life, and, we're just unique people.
Gotcha. All right. LaShawn, Carla, you got any questions for this man or Jonesy, who is the inspiration for Dirty South and Mo Dirty?
How long has he lived in the Dirty South? All his life? Is he a native from the Dirty South?
Yes, I was born on an island called the Fusky Island. It's a barrier island off the coast of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here all my life. My family is pretty much, like I said, African and Indian mix, and we've been here pretty much from the beginning. My great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother was a slave here. We later owned the property that we worked, so we've been here from the beginning.
Wow.
Wow. Very excited, man.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I'll just say this, you know what, Ernie, just, you know, when you look at, we're talking street literature, urban literature, and obviously you have become a fixture in my novels, at least the Dirty South series. You've seen a lot, and I'm quite certain, you know, during your time as a youth, when you were doing that, what is some of the some of the most ruthless things that you have actually had to witness or deal with during your time in the quote-unquote in the game?
I've witnessed countless murders. I've been shot 7 times. I'm confined to a wheelchair. I've done 13 years in prison. That's pretty much my resume.
Right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, man. So you would say, I mean, when, you know, actually when you were in the federal penitentiary also for, you know, and trust me, and like I said, listeners, we're not, and also street literature, and I'm sure LaShawn and Carla and also Jonesy can also attest to what I'm saying. These novels don't glorify crime or glorify the street. We're just telling it like it is. You know, that's what we as the authors do, and that's why the readers enjoy reading these novels. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so I would just say, what would you say, Ernie, to any of the youngsters out here that are would-be gangsters? They out here, they you know, they they out in the streets and they doing their thing, what would you say to any of these youth today?
Well, I would kind of try to explain to the youth that what's happened to our culture is drugs were not readily available to, you know, people of color. You know, I remember when we couldn't even cop cocaine. I mean, you couldn't even buy it. You know, the prices were so astronomical, and it was pretty much I don't want to sound like a racist, so I gotta be careful what I'm saying, because I'm not a racist, you know, so. You know, it was just pretty much, we used to call it like a white man's drug.
Okay.
In the early 80s, it was kind of introduced into our society, and a lot of people have never experienced it yet. A lot of people have never drove a Mercedes Benz, have never lived in a big house, that never even experienced air conditioning. So when they had an opportunity to get these things, and it was so ready, you know, they're so readily available. So, you know, it happened overnight, you know, because I know guys that I went to school with that never experienced cocaine or drugs at all. And within 1 year, from 1987 to 88, guys that I went to school with were hooked on drugs, and other guys were rich off of the drugs.
Right, so exactly, kind of really exactly. Fast. Okay. Wow.
Arnie, question here. I was listening to what you were saying about all the things you've done and been shot so many times, been in prison. You ever thought about doing something on your life, like a movie or something? You ever thought about anything like that? You know,
No, I've never really thought about it. I just, just live the life. And
right.
If somebody's willing to tell it, then I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about that. You know, thinking about all the things.
I never thought of it in those terms. It was just a way of life for me. You know, it just happened that my cousin just, I guess,
right,
by him seeing and being inspired. And, you know, I never really knew I was inspiring anybody. I thought I was just doing what I had to do to survive.
Right. You know, like I'm originally from the South myself, but I'm down by Georgia. And I never been to, that's your home right there?
Yes, it is.
I never really been in that area. And I've been to a lot of different places in the South. And that was the kind of, when Darryl mentioned that part of the South was kind of new to me, you know. And I would like to visit that area one day, you know.
Oh, we got to make that happen.
Yeah,
definitely make that happen. Now, you know what?
Like I said,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ern.
Okay, go. You can go, because I thought he was talking to me, but go ahead.
I was just explaining to you that I'm from down that area, in that area, but when Darryl mentioned that part of the South, it was like new to me, because I really never heard of it. And I said I always want to go there and check it out, you know.
Yeah, me and Darryl we were born on a barrier island called the Fusky Island. They only had electricity and running water and all of the amenities that you guys are used to probably only like 33, 34 years ago. It was kind of, don't let them come in with a lot of noise. Listen to that. It was kind of always, really, really primitive and laid back. So, you know, a lot of people haven't heard of it. It's got an Indian name. You got to pretty much see it to believe it.
How big is this area? What's the population? Ernie?
Did somebody say something? Go ahead.
Ernie?
Yes?
What's the population of that area?
Oh, I would say I live in Beaufort County, and I think the last census, Beaufort County was, I think, 179,000.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole county. But the island itself, Hilton Head Island, the population here is about year-round 13,000 to 14,000 permanent residents. And the Fusky Island, maybe 95 people.
Oh, wow. I guess everybody know everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. It used to be back in the day where everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
We pretty much experienced a population explosion, too, because Beaufort County used, about 30 years ago, they used to only have maybe 25, 30,000 people. Now they got over 100,000.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, now, I just wanted to say this right here. LaShawn, you still there? Carla?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Now, from reading, we had just, Ernie, discussed with these ladies one of the characters that they're familiar with, and that is Uncle Snooky in the book. And even without Uncle Snooky was based on an individual that I knew growing up, and when Ernie was a youth who he worked around and with, his name was Big Gabby. At that time. Now, Big Gabby is a character also in the books also, but I kind of took combinations. I took some elements from the nature of this actual person, Big Gabby, to create both characters. Could you explain to us a little bit about the nature of this individual?
Well, he was He was a pretty big individual.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 6'5", really dark skin. He's deceased now, so, you know, he was pretty close to me, so, you know, I don't want to just say anything or, you know.
Right.
A lot of things I'm not really at liberty to say, you know.
Sure, but, sure, understandable.
He was convicted of numerous drug trafficking crimes. He was sort of the first kingpin in the area. He was a ruthless individual, but he had a Jekyll and Hyde. He was a good individual, but a ruthless individual. If there's
right.
such a thing. I learned a lot from him. I've seen a lot. You know, I experienced a lot there. And I would say he's the closest thing that I ever lived around that was a really an original gangster. I would even consider myself a gangster compared
right.
to him, and I've been through a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What would you say is the most time, the most probably, other than yourself in the South, in prison or whatever, is a prominently well-known gangster that you've probably been around, that you've seen?
Oh, you mean the people that I've met through the years?
Yes, yes.
Well, when I went to federal prison in 1990, I was in Springfield, Missouri, and John Gotti was there. He died there of throat cancer.
Okay.
I met Manuel Noriega. I met the Chin, Gianganta. I met pretty much major heavy hitters because I was in federal prison. And being in federal prison, because I was confined to the wheelchair, I pretty much was at the kind of like the upper prisons, you know, kind of like the ones that's kind of reserved for
yes.
the upper class inmates, I guess.
Okay.
So I got to meet a lot of people that you guys read about, that you guys have met a lot of.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So, and those, if for those of us that don't know the areas of Carolina, and you know, for many who may be listening, who, you know, when like I said, when you think of the city, when you think of, you know, Washington D.C., you think of New York, you think of Philadelphia, some of the areas, like say for instance, I'm sure you know Carla, LaShawn. If you mention D.C., some of the ruthless areas, you would probably say Southeast D.C. You know, one of the crime-ridden areas. You know, if you were in Philadelphia, say South Philly. For those who are traveling through the South, and particularly South Carolina low area, what areas would be the hotbed of some of crime and some of the big ballers and some of the most heinous drug related murders that you would say?
Charleston, South Carolina.
That's Geechee Town, right?
Yeah, it's Geechee Town, and we all are Geechees in the whole Low Country area.
Oh, okay.
You know, the Geechees are pretty much just the African slaves that worked these islands for cotton, sugar, and they worked as slaves. And Indians were already on the island from the very beginning, so the Indians kind of like, you know, mixed with the African slaves, and it kind of pretty much created the Gullahs, and that's pretty much what the Gullahs are, the Geechees.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay, so you're saying Charleston, South Carolina? I would assume...
Charleston, South Carolina. Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Bluffton, South Carolina. St. Helena Island. Richland, South Carolina. A place called Coosahatchee, South Carolina.
All of those areas are pretty much
Carolina.
Areas where you can get it if you want, huh?
Excuse me?
I say all of those areas are areas that if you are, you know, like you're a city boy and you think they slow, you can get it.
Well, you may see a lot of trees and birds and bees, but you definitely can see the end.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys up north,
I hear
and I get this from a lot of people up north area. They think that it's a lot easier here. They think that the people are not as intelligent here. They think the guys are not as slicker here. But that's far from true. I've seen everything happen here and a lot more ruthless than the guys up north would even dream of.
Wow.
You've got guys here that almost, the people that I think that pretty much rival the people here are Jamaicans and Haitians.
You know, okay. All right. You mean in the ruthlessness of the crimes that they commit?
Yeah, and the ruthlessness of the crimes, the beheadings, the tortures. You know, just the sheer brutality. It's not really brutality to just take a gun and shoot somebody. It's brutality to cut somebody open, to cut somebody's head off.
Wow.
You know? And these are crimes that go down in the South Carolina or maybe Savannah, Georgia, the Low Country all the time.
Excuse me?
So those are pretty much crimes that go down when it comes to the drug trade in those areas of Low Country, South Carolina and Georgia on a regular basis.
Yeah, we cut their fingers off, man.
Wow.
Mm. Wow. I hear you. So I mean, because I know we're getting ready to get up out of here, and we thank you so much for being a part tonight, Mr. Brian, and sharing your time on with us on KJ Talk Radio, as well as LaShawn and Carla. You know, I pretty much, you know, wish all of you all happy new year. This is our urban fiction, show. And before we get up out of here, just going to have some closing remarks from all of you guys, starting with Jonesy. Go ahead, on urban fiction in the coming new year. Go ahead.
One thing, on the, subject, the urban, street lit, you know, I'm not, a heavy fan on that, so I don't have a lot of knowledge of it. But anyway, I enjoyed it, and I learned some from it, and I want to thank all the guests.
All right, great.
For tuning in.
Fantastic. Carla?
I just want to say, everybody, I wish everybody a happy year, 2010. And urban literature, I believe, most definitely is here to stay.
Okay.
And for the gentleman that from the Dirty South, you really enlightened me on a lot because I had never heard of it before. And I really liked everything you said.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Carla, for joining us tonight. LaShawn?
I would like to start by wishing everybody a Happy New Year as well. The urban literature... I do enjoy it, so I know that there should be a lot of great books to come out this year, and I look forward to reading those. as far as Mr. Ernest. I do appreciate your input because a lot of people think that people from the South are slow, and it's good to let them know that they're not. My family is from South Carolina down that area, so I do know it can get kind of crazy down there sometimes.
All right, LaShawn. And again, I thank you, sweetheart, for coming on when, you know, you weren't feeling that well. So, you know, that was really, really a big of you. So we appreciate that. And Ernie, hey, man, thank you so much for coming on to the show, taking time out of your busy day. Do you have any final thoughts, sir, or any comments before you leave?
No, I just thank you guys for inviting me and, you know, just taking the time to listen and even caring enough to even have me on the show.
No problem. We enjoy it.
Oh, anytime. We'd love to have you again on one of our Urban Lit sessions. So, all right, everybody, that is KJ Talk Radio. Riders up there. Once again, we've come to the end of our show. It was a wonderful show tonight. Jones, what you think, man? I love all of our guests.
I think it was great, man. I think it was great.
Yeah, man. I know absolutely it was a wonderful show. And so we're going to just leave you all with the next show. We're going to have some more urban literature again. We also, Carla, going to do some astrology. Is that right, Carla?
Oh, yes, indeedy.
All right. We'll do some of that coming New Year. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Sean, Ernie from Dirty, thank you. And Jonesy, man, as always, man, we look forward to having
All right.
I'll add your boy, Daryl King and Albert Jones Jr., KJ Talk Radio. Holla.
Peace.